Thank you, Angela, for that beautiful number and song. Something for all of us to look forward to someday. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today, I'm talking about real freedom. I'm reminded of Braveheart. A Scotsman decided he wanted freedom for his land, and he gathered a mighty army, but they were defeated. At the end, before he was executed, he yelled out, "Freedom! Freedom!" And you know what? The day came, but not when he was there, but he started a thing to free Scotland. And I think about America. I'm thankful for the freedom that we do enjoy today. As Angela said, for the Thanksgivings that we had with our families and friends and the freedom we have now. But today I'm going to talk about real freedom. And we're going to look in John 15, verse 1 through 8 as we begin. Father, your blessing upon the word. May it be quickened to each heart in life, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the truth, Lord, will invade our lives to make us better in you. Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He lops off every branch that doesn't produce, and he prunes those branches that bear fruit for every larger crop. He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the commands I gave you. Take care to live in me and let me live in you, for a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing. If anyone separates from me, he is thrown away like a useless branch, withers, and is gathered into a pile with all the others and burned. But if you stay in me and obey my commands, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce bountiful harvests. This brings great glory to my Father. So I'd like to talk to you today about freedom and share with you what I feel that it means by the Scripture and the Word of God. We know in society that we live in today, everyone wants to be free. Children, young people talk about freedom. You do your thing and I'll do mine. But it's not just young people that are saying that. A lot of people are saying that. The fact of the matter is that when we live in God's world, it's not a matter of us doing our own thing, but it's a matter of us doing it God's way. It's a matter of understanding what real freedom is. Listen, real freedom doesn't come in isolation. Real freedom doesn't come in a box. I'm not free because you don't touch me. But we have to understand who God is and what he expects from our life. Then we'll understand what real freedom is. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and you are the branches." And you may say, "Well, Lord, let me be a part of the vine." But have you ever seen a grapevine? There is no place where the branches begin and the vine is. They're attached to the vine. They're all in one. And that's the way it is when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You become a part of that branch. You are one with Jesus. So the Lord is redundant here over and over again. He keeps saying the same thing. Stay in me, and I will stay in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's read John 15, verse 5 in the Amplified. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from my vital union with me, you can't do nothing. Now, John 15, verse 9 through 10 in the Amplified. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in my love with me. If you keep my commands, if you continue to obey my instruction, you will abide in my love and live on it just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on his love. And that is the key for all of us. If you continue to obey my instructions, if you continue to live in me, you know, I know God will reveal himself to you in a wonderful way when you begin to live by his word. What if I walked up to you and I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Lee. I'm a human being. Please pray that I'm a human. Please, please." You would say, "Man, Pastor Lee has a real problem, doesn't he?" I want you to know it's a natural thing that God is making us like him. And a lot of times we say, "God, make me like you." A lot of times God is saying, "Now, let's take two steps back and look what real freedom is and what life is in me. It's not pumping and working to have the Holy Spirit flow through you. It's artesian well. When the source is above and it flows down, and that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit in our life. It flows into it. It's an infinite well that comes, and it makes us realize who we are in Christ, and there's ministry, and there's anointing that comes with us to make us the person that he wants us to be in the day and age that we live in. Jesus is saying, if you will stop being so tense, maybe I can do something in you. I love the name of God. There are all kinds of it. I am the Lord that heals. I am the Lord that delivers. I am the Lord that goes before you. I am your Redeemer. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, the life. But the key name, the basic name is I am. God doesn't have to prove anything to us. God is. God is. He exists. Listen to the word in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I'm going to read that again. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. When God called himself I am, Moses asked, "Who shall I say sent me?" And we read in Exodus 3, verse 14, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be." And he said, "You shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you." Now, that is the most secure name there is. When God says, I am the one who heals. I am the one that goes before you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the Redeemer. I am the Lamb of God. I am the everlasting Father. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Counselor. That is who he is. I am. Hear me. God exists. He doesn't have to prove anything. And you need to realize that through Christ and through his work on the cross, we see that God gave us a special something when he gave us salvation and we are in him. We have the freedom that is free from the bondage of Satan, from the oppression of Satan, or anything that comes into our life. There is real freedom in him, and we need to grab a hold of that. When Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" God said, "I am that I am." Was God uptight? No, he's secure. All of our lives are trying to prove ourselves to God. And you don't have to prove anything. He's just saying, "Look to me, respond to me, and you will find freedom." When I was first in the ministry, I thought I had to win the world around me in 1 year to Christ. But, you know, that's evangelism turned around. You know, the thing is today, we're going to take some for Jesus Christ. And the next year, we're going to take more for Jesus Christ. But it's for us realizing that the Holy Spirit flowing through us makes us, helps us to impact others. You know, it'd be wonderful just to tell people what to do to help the work of the Lord. But God has impressed on me, and I know he has our other pastors in our church, that we preach the word and let God speak to you through the word. And then God will show you where you belong in ministry and what you can do to impact your world that you live in. Now let's look at some points together. Number one, the character of God is the basis for real freedom. We are free because we are in Him. Let me repeat that. The character of God is the basis for real freedom. We are free because we are in Him. You know, God's the freest individual in the whole universe. He should be. He made it. And if He calls His shots, He is free. And to the extent we subscribe to God and have faith in Him, it brings freedom to us in our life. John 8, verse 34 through 38. Let me read this from the Message Bible. John 8, 34 through 38. Jesus said, "I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will. The son, though, has established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you're free through and through." Can you grab a hold of that word today? You're free through and through. Understand, there are a couple of things that make you free, and it's trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. You need to trust God that He has a plan for your life. And I sometimes in my life have realized, God, I need to trust you more for this situation and what I'm going through. You say, oh, God, I need faith. But you know what? The more you get to know God's character, the more you get to know Him, the more you will trust Him. You know, when you came in today, I don't think you had a second thought of sitting in that chair. You just sat down. Now, if that chair was made out of cardboard, that would be a different story. But, you know, when you have seen God act, it's easier to trust Him the next time when you know what He can do. And I've seen that in my childhood. Being raised in a Christian family, my dad was a real man of faith. And I saw God in action quite a few times in my life, and God answered prayer. I seen God heal my mother of a cancerous tumor and other things like Angela was sharing. But you know, just like the fire we had at the church, Brenda and Joy, when that happened, they ran out. They didn't have little fire trucks. I believe in this. I believe in this. But they trusted, once they called, that the fire trucks would come. They assumed they would. Why? Because they had seen fire trucks in action. And you know what? As people that love God, if you've seen God move in your life, if you've seen God change your family, or you've seen God save somebody that it seemed like it was impossible, then you can have faith to believe for others that He lays on your heart. Or situations that you think, I can't make it through, but you make it through because God is there for you. I'm sure, you know, I remember as a kid, we'd play games and have what we call a trust walk. Or one of us was blind, we'd close our eyes tightly, and the other one would walk us around, and we'd have to trust that person that they would show us the way where we wouldn't bump into a tree or some obstacle. See, the responsibility is with the person that sees. And so you've got to trust that person. But let's say, for instance, the sun was shining, and all of a sudden the shadow of a tree crossed your path, and you're the one that has your eyes closed. You saw, oh, man, that's real. I'm going to open my eyes. I'm doing this on my own. And so instead of trusting that person, you open your eyes. The thing is, what we need to realize is that God knows the way. And we need to trust Him. That when He speaks by His word to us, no matter what, that we need to listen. But the thing is, sometimes we just want to do it on our own, don't we? Lord, I don't really trust you. I'm just, you know, I think I need to do this on my own. And so we find ourselves in trouble. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He'll what? He'll direct your path. Now, you know, What is hard sometimes, there's so many voices, so many things calling to us in the day and age we live in. It's just like if I had everyone in this building talk at once, and Pastor Jim and I, without this mic, were trying to communicate to one another and talk to one another, it would be impossible. But today there's so many voices that try to attract our attention. And we need to have a tune to the Lord. We need to have a frequency that is in tune to what he is saying to us. And that is what it's like when we come to church and we hear the word of God, or we're listening or singing, that we have a frequency that's tuned to what is being said or what we are singing in worship, where our mind is not 1,000 miles away or outside thinking about the leftover Thanksgiving. By the way, that was good, honey. You know, thinking about what we can do afterwards of the Seahawks. I wonder if they're going to win or lose. But you know, when we're here together, under the presence of God, that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And you know what? It will flow through us and we'll have real freedom in God. You know, sometimes it's so hard being a parent when your children disobey. And you probably experience that because what you're saying, maybe they don't believe you. I remember a number of occasions in my life. There were a few times I was disobedient to my dad. And he said, "Son, why did you do that?" I would say, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Yes, you do." "Well, I guess because I wanted to." And you know what? There was consequences that followed. When I was disobedient and didn't listen to him and to his voice and what he was saying to me. So let's go on to point number two. When we trust God, we are free because he is responsible for our lives. When we trust God, we are free because he's responsible for our lives. You know, it's been over 25 years ago. We didn't get to celebrate, as Pastor Jim said, about our church and the founding of the church. But I remember pastoring 18 years down in Beaverton, Oregon area, Christian Life Center. And when God spoke to me, here we had bought 13 and a half acres and had plans to build in the future and all of this. And God said, "I want you to go to Spokane." Now, when God began to speak to me, do you think in the natural, I was anxious. I was apprehensive. And God kind of nailed me to the wall and said, "Are you afraid to fail, Lee?" I had to admit, "Yes, God." He said, "Well, aren't you glad that I didn't fail?" You stop and think about that a moment. Look at Philippians 2, verse 5 through 9. "You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names." Jesus let go of his glory. He humbled himself. He was obedient even unto the death of the cross, so that we may have salvation. And you know, I thought about that, what God had did. So I trusted God. I say, "Okay, Lord, you're calling me to Spokane. You make things fall in place." And he did. And when I saw that building, I went and looked at a number of different places with my brother. And when I saw that former Mormon building, windows out, no yard, I mean the asphalt just horrible, I said, "This is it. This is it." And God helped us a step at a time to be able to talk to the Mormons. And they thought I had a church already. I had a name, New Hope Christian Center. And God put everything in place. And we got the church with no down. And then Wham Corporation, who had speculated on building an office complex there, they let us have their equity for $60,000 2 years, another $60,000 the next year. But you know what? A step at a time, God met us. And over the years, as Pastor Jim knows, God has met us. A miracle when we thought we might even lose our church. God was there. If I would have not taken that step, some of you would not be here today. But all of us are here and encouraged. And now Pastor Jim has the reins. And God's going to continue to do a work. And we're going to find real freedom in Him as a congregation, because we're not going to be afraid to step out to let others know about Jesus Christ. And New Hope Christian Center is going to impact our valley for Him wherever we go, whoever we come in contact with in our daily life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Number three, let's look at that. In order to have real freedom, we must have definition and limitations in order to be effective. This would include trusting God and obeying Him. Obeying Him. You know, if you're totally free, then why don't you just take your skin off or your skeleton? We'd be a bunch of blobs just laying around here. You know, with freedom comes limitations. And it reminds me of the fable that I read to my kids when they were young about this choo-choo train. Just going down the track, you know, choo-choo along. And all of a sudden he looks over and he sees, you know, the pasture, the cows and people and all that. He decides, man, I want to go over there. So he decides to jump the track. And when he jumps off the track, he gets in ruts and he can't go any place. You know what? Today, sad to say, there's a lot of Christians that are off track. And they need to get back on track, because that's where the real freedom is. Oh, you say, well, I have limitations. Oh, you look forward to what we have in Him and the freedom we have in Him, and the day is going to come when we'll have eternal life in Him, friends. That makes it worth it all. But the thing is, there's trust and obedience. Reminds me of this man. He loved his wife dearly, but she grew cold in her soul and started going out on him, and he knew it. And he kept praying, believing God. One day he was going down the road, and he recognized her car, and here she was in a motel. He went in, banged the door, and the guy answered, and he saw his wife over on the bed. He says, I want you out of here now. That is my wife, who I love. She was inebriated, so drunk she couldn't stand. He picked her up in his arms and took her to the house all night long. She vomited. And he bathed her and cleansed her and put her back in bed. The next day, she said, what kind of love is this that you would do this for me? Well, God changed her. She committed her life to Jesus and started going back to church. About a year went by, and the man went to his pastor and said, you know, Pastor, I still have fear to leave her because I don't trust her. The pastor said, well, then you really don't love her like you should. What? No, real love means respect and trust. And you can say that till the cows come home, but unless you really, really believe it, that she is being real to you and trusting you, then you can't have a marriage. But you know what? God used that to turn their marriage completely around, and they enjoyed many years together. Some people say, I love you, Jesus. But unless they do what the Word says, unless they follow Him, then their trust really isn't real. Their love for Jesus is like putting a piece of furniture or a bicycle together and you have three or four parts left over. So you learn that you have to trust Him. John 14, verse 21. Let's read that in the message. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. The Lord is saying, know me, trust me, and you're going to have a fulfilled life. You know, but a lot of people, they look at God as sadistic. Now, I know, and my counseling over the years, that there have been those that have been raised by, dads that were mean, cantankerous, and didn't really show love. And when they came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they were kind of reluctant really to understand that God's a God of love. Reminds me of a story of a man and his family going down the highway. All of a sudden, they smelled some really messy in the back. And they pulled over, and he said, "I think our little one just did a big one." And so the mother took him out, put him in the front seat, and changed the diaper, and then threw the diaper in the back once she put it in a plastic bag. But one of the children, the five-year-old girl, unbuckled her seatbelt and stood up. Now, he had a rule. No matter what, you do not unbuckle till I tell you. And she had unbuckled and stood up. But at the same time, after he said, "Now you sit down and buckle up this very second," he smelled the diaper, the ick. And he said to his wife, "Where did you put that diaper?" And his girl said, "Daddy, are you going to hit me with that diaper?" But you know what? That's a lot of us look. And he said, "No, honey, I'm not going to do it. What kind of dad do you think I am?" And sometimes I think we misread our God, who is a God of love, who wants us to understand his word and what he says is true and be obedient to the word. You know, God's such a God who cares for us. I want you to imagine yourself that you're rebelling and you aren't living for God like you should. But I serve a God who is there at your heart's door. And Jesus, can't you imagine? He's smashing down the door of your heart and coming against all the furniture you have stacked against it. In other words, you have a part of your life you don't want God to have, and you're going to hold on to it, but God smashes down and says, "I want you. I want all of you." And the Holy Spirit is wooing you. You know what we serve? We serve a hound of heaven. God's not going to let you go. And I don't care what you've been in or what you've been through. If you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit, if you begin to listen to the message of the Word of God, or when you read and God speaks to your heart and convicts you in a certain area, know that he loves you so much, he's not willing that you should perish, but that you should repent and say, "Lord, I confess. I turn my life over to you, Lord." He just wants to know that you love and that you trust him. Number four, we have a God that loves us and is for us, and he's with us through pain, hurts, and difficulties. And he's the one who gives us real freedom. He's the one who gives us real freedom. Let me read Romans 8, verse 31. "What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?" How many know today God's on your side? And if he's for you, who can be against you? I want you to rise up in faith, hold your head up high, and realize who you are in Jesus Christ today. Don't let the devil put you down and demean you. "Oh, I'm just a worthless nobody. You know, I just might as well go eat worms, little fuzzy-wuzzy ones, little bitty-witty ones, how they wiggle and how they squirm." No, no, no. You are important to God today. And you know what? You can share your faith when you have opportunities because of what God has done for you. It reminds me of a gal named Ann. Her dad was a Nazarene pastor, and she would travel with her mom and dad. But when she was a little girl, she would say to her mom, "You know, I am ugly, you know. I'm just so thin." And her mom said to Ann, "You know, God's not through with you yet. He has a plan and a purpose for your life." As the years passed, she grew up and God began to use her. She began to speak for the Lord. And as a middle-aged woman, she began to travel across the United States, encouraging other ladies, impacting other women for Jesus Christ. Well, on this one occasion, she was boarding the plane from Boston to San Francisco. And she said, "Lord, I'm really tired. Please, I really don't feel like sharing with anybody today." And she got on the plane, And who would know it? A typical businessman sat beside her. And as they were taken off, the Lord says, I want you to share with him. So all of a sudden she turns and said, hi, I'm Ann. And I want to sing a song to you. He said, what? I don't even know you. Well, it will be very, very quiet. I would just sing it real softly. And so she started singing, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. Have you ever been confused? I have. But you know, the Lord was there for me. He said, look, look, look. My wife is a devoted Catholic, and she goes to church every Sunday. But me, I'm an atheist. I don't go to church. She said, a real live atheist? Oh, wow. That is tremendous. But let me tell you, I serve a God who can change your life. He is a wonderful God who has plans and a purpose for your life, and he cares for you. Something beautiful when you're confused. All your confusion, he understands. All I have to offer you is brokenness and strife. Have you ever been broken or filled with strife? And she saw the tears starting to come down his cheeks. And all the way, 5 hours or so to San Francisco, she talked to this man about Jesus and what God had done for her life. You know, that's the key. You don't have to preach to anybody. You don't have to come across, well, heaven, yes, hell, no, no, no. You just share what Jesus. I've done that a number of times in my life and led people to Jesus Christ because I just shared what he did. And you know, when he got off the plane, he grabbed her hands and said, you'll never know what this meant to me, what you said to me. She said, here's my card. I'm holding meetings in different places you want to come and visit, do, but I'll be praying for you. Several weeks went by, and she got a letter from him and said, you know what, Ann? I haven't accepted him yet, but for the first time in my life, I believe God is. And you know, the day came when he accepted the Lord. I just got to share this at our Thanksgiving meal. Before we ate, Donella and her sister Lorraine, who was here, we welcome her back. She's living here, looking for a full-time job. But they sang a song about God and being thankful. And one of my grandsons, who's an adult, a proclaimed atheist, took a moving picture of that and put it online. But afterwards, I led in prayer, and God just had me pray for each of the 4 grandsons that were there. And I had an individual prayer for each one, and I said, oh God, I know your reality, and I know you have a plan and purpose, and I would name their names for their life. God, make yourself real to them. I'm thankful for my grandsons and what you have planned for them. May they know your reality. And you know what? I know God spoke to them because afterwards there was an email that came back from one of them saying how much they enjoyed. And I know and I claim the day when those boys are going to completely commit their life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to see that day. Amen. And for you that have been praying for others and believe in God, you're going to see the day when they come and completely give their life to Jesus Christ. 1 John 4, verse 16 and 7 says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect as we live in him. I'm going to close it with this word from the Message Bible, John 15. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me, I will be with you. The relation, intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown into the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. That is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. If you don't know where you're coming from, then you don't know where you're going. This reminds me of Roots, which has been shown on television a number of times. But Kunta Kinte was a slave, was brought over in a ship from Africa. And he had a girl from the plantation, Kizzy, who was born, had a child from the plantation owner named Chicken George, because he fought game roosters. And the day came when a guy, Sam, courted his mom, wanting to marry him, and she backed out. And Chicken George said to her, "Mom, why are you backing out marrying him?" She said to him, "Because if you don't know where you come from, you can't know where you're going." But we know where we come from. We know who made us. We know who created us. We know who formed us, and we know our destiny, and we know where we're going. Amen? And we have freedom today to stay on track and listen to his word and to trust and obey. That's real freedom.
Amen.
How many can say today, "I want to trust God more of my life. I'm tired of doing things on my own and going my way, but I want to be obedient to his word." Amen. All of us do. Let's pray, shall we, Father? Your blessing upon this week. Direct us, guide us in your way and your plan. May we stay on track, Lord, and not get sidetracked with the things of the world that would discourage us and throw us off, if that's what the enemy would desire. But we want to be true to you. And Lord, may we have that path directed by you each and every day. Thank you for your blessing on each and every one that is here. We go with your grace and blessing. And everyone said, amen. You're dismissed.